is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends. It's another episode of Nightmare on Film Street. We spoiled ya. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And this is a bonus episode. Pew, pew.
Thank you so much for joining us for a second episode this week. We are sitting down with Panic Fest creators, programmers, curators, Adam and Tim, to talk about all of the incredible films that they're playing at their film festival beginning next week. This festival's running 2 weekends long, baby! They got a whole lot of stuff. Adam and Tim are huge horror fans. They're huge nerds. They're horror lovers like yourselves. And they are putting together a really great, super fun film festival that you can enjoy from the comfort of your own home.
Woo! And actually, in addition to doing the virtual fest this year, they're also doing a little bit of the in-person festival, one of the first, I think, in Kansas City, where it's born, grown, and raised at the Screenland Cinema. We wanted to collaborate with Panic Fest for the last few years. It's such a fun festival. There's always fun movies coming out of there. Really great stuff. And COVID hit and we've always had plans to go down there and check it out. But we get to collaborate with them this year and I'm super excited. We're doing some fun panels and stuff with them.
Yeah.
Including this little episode.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we sat down with them just after they announced the full lineup of the festival. Schedule comes out first week of April. We've also been recording some fun intros. We're doing a Q&A for a killer doll movie that I can't wait for you guys to check out. It's called Benny Loves You. It's so great. It's so much fun. And we're also doing something that we're going to keep as a surprise for the festival.
Oh, surprise.
Yes, something that it's a secret project we're currently working on. It's under wraps. Until next week. When the festival starts. Best of all, though, we've also got a promo code for you guys listening right now.
Dope!
You can get 20% off your festival pass by using the promo code FIEND20 at panicfilmfest.com.
Oh, sweet! That's actually super cool because, one, there's like 60 friggin' movies which you can watch, plus our panels and stuff that we'll be doing, super, super fun side stuff, and they'll be doing some virtual stuff. I hear there's some trivia, and they're gonna have a little gather town where you can hang out virtually, and I'm sure John and I are gonna be popping in because
oh, hell yeah.
We're going to be festing the whole time. I'm super stoked. But instead of us telling you about what's going to be at Panic Fest, we should just get into our interview.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's throw it over to Tim and Adam, where they're going to give us some highlights of the festival movies that you really don't want to miss this year. And as well, we asked them about the origins of Panic Fest, like what that first year looked like. And we also asked them about the challenges of trying to program a film festival during a global pandemic. That's surprisingly difficult, which maybe unsurprisingly difficult. Like, it's hard enough to go to the grocery store right now, but they are doing an incredible job.
It's expectedly a nightmare.
Yes, yeah. Perfect for a genre film festival, if you ask me. But it sounds like they've got everything planned out. They're like Kim said, they're doing some in-person stuff, which obviously means reduced capacity. All the staff members are vaccinated, which is pretty rad.
Woo!
Looking forward to getting that.
You can hear the Canadian bitterness.
But that's enough from us. Let's get into it. Hello, horror fans, and welcome to Panic Fest 2021. We're sitting down with Tim and Adam, the creators of Panic Fest, the curators, the guys who are bringing you this incredible content this year. Guys, thank you. I just tapped my microphone.
It was great, though.
Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having us.
Was that a high five you were trying to give me, or are you just slapping your mic?
That must have been it, yeah.
Okay, that's what I
thought. All right, on the count of three, everybody in front of the webcam. 1, 2, 3, let's do it. Yeah.
Couldn't be more awkward. I love
this is how we do things in quarantine.
Yeah, it is. I thought it was a Canadian thing, but okay.
It may be a Canadian thing. Are we starting it?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, we're sitting down just like a day or two after you guys announced the 2021 lineup. And, you know, before we got a lot of questions to ask you guys about Panic Fest in general, the history of the festival, what it's like trying to program a film festival during a pandemic. But first off, I want to get some recommendations from you guys, some highlights from the festival that you want to let everybody know about.
Well, so I can talk on the feature side of things. I'll let Tim kind of throw the shorts out there. It's weird to ask for recommendations because we do look at hundreds of movies, right? Hundreds of features, hundreds of shorts or whatever. And this is the whittled down. These are the best stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So like you're really asking for a best of, which is just, that is insane. But yeah, I could throw a couple of my personal favorites out there because when you program a good festival, I think you're not just looking at movies that you like, you're looking at movies that, you know, somebody else is going to like, and that is oftentimes the most difficult thing because not every movie is going to be for you. But some of my personal favorites, The Gin from IFC is incredible. It's North American premiere with us. It is one of the shot in quarantine movies that doesn't feel like it. It fully feels like it was formed to be the movie it is. And it is just, you know, I love haunted house movies, and this is a monster loose in an apartment with a child who's mute. And I'm like, that is just perfect for me. That's the perfect fucking movie for me. Give it to me every day. And you know, it's like 88 minutes. It's a beautiful, it's scary as shit, and it's beautiful. The Old Ways is my number two favorite, probably personally. I'm not voting this year. We're doing all audience awards, so it doesn't matter what I say. So
three ties for number one is what I'm hearing. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody made you're all number one. You made the list, right? You're in. But the old ways is just so weird and creepy. It's a spin on the exorcism and like possession genre that I haven't seen done before. And the less, you know, I knew nothing going into it, like I do most of these things. And this movie got under my skin and really, really like took me by surprise. And then there's some favorites. You know, we're the second place for Film Censor and Blazing World and Prisoners of the Ghost Line to play. And those are all Sundance and South By premieres. So, you know, we're second fiddle, but it's a good second fiddle. You know, that's the best, the two of the biggest festivals in the world. And those films are tremendous. You know, it was high on our list, especially, you know, Censor. I know people really want to see that and missed it at Sundance. So we were super stoked that we were able to play that one. And then a local film, I'll give a shout out, Below the Fold, just a tight thriller. If you can make a tight thriller, no matter the budget, you have my vote every day. I'm on board. And last year we had a couple of great tight thrillers, and this one I think is one that you're going to hear about whenever it inevitably finds distribution.
That's right, awesome. Yeah, and with Prisoners of Ghostland and Blazing World, and like those are bringing so much color and vibrance to the festival. You're gonna have so many like neons and brights and stuff, and that's awesome.
I mean, Nick Cage high kicking in those leather pants.
you need a Nick Cage.
For me, it's all about Bill Moseley doing like a Kentucky Fried pimp. Like he's really bringing it.
He was born to mustache.
We had Color Out of Space on preview night last year, so I think it's just a tradition that we're trying to get Nick Cage movies to kick off the fest every year. That's going to be our goal from now on.
It's a good tradition.
That's awesome.
It's a really good tradition.
I mean, he kind of does enough genre like films that you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we did Mom and Dad a couple years ago. We were the U.S. of that.
Right on.
And I forgot about that, yeah.
That movie's super fun, but Ghostland is a movie that it's my favorite movie in a long time to try to describe to somebody. Because it's like, it's not necessarily about the premise of the film so much as them trying to squeeze as much out of each sequence as possible. And so it's like, oh, this, well, it's essentially Nick Cage and Mad Max. But in this Mad Max, it takes place in Samurai Town, which is literally what it's called. But it's run kind of by a cowboy, and there's a weird cowboy aesthetic with most people, and there's a little bit of singing for some reason, and everything is ultraviolet, and it's an insane fucking movie. I don't know, like I wish I could see the pitch for this movie because it's got to be absurd.
And real quick before we move on, actually, do you want to let everybody know a little bit about Censor? Like I think we might have missed that one.
Yeah, Censor. So Censor is about a woman who works at the ratings board in the 80s during the video nasty time. And I mean, that's essentially all you need to know. That's my ticket is sold when you tell me that's the premise. Yeah. It's a super stylized, very, very, you know, as the movie goes along, it gets more and more in the Argento style of kind of, you know, more of Italian giallo style films with the heavily, you know, red and blue and greens lighting that comes from nowhere, you know, but that's kind of the premise. You follow her story and what it's like for somebody to be on the censor board and to watch, you know, the craziest shit over and over and over, and what it does to you mentally and to your personal life. And that movie goes some places. I was quite the fan, and I'm excited to watch it with people and see how people react, because it is a roller coaster. You know, it's kind of like Barbarian Sound Studio. Remember that film?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Oh, love that movie.
One day this will be a double feature.
Definitely. Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
Feel perfect for each other.
Yeah. One's the visual and one's the audio visual.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and unlike Sundance and South by Southwest, you are actually having in-person screenings for your festival this year too, which, like, mixed in with virtual stuff, which is pretty great that you're really jealous that you get to see some of these movies with people. Like, really, really jealous.
We've been watching them on tiny laptops. It kind of sucks.
You need to get like a virtual audience, like right next to you or in front of you, like a guy, like every once in a while, like his cell phone just pops up and you're like, hey.
Or yeah. Put that away.
Stick up the floor beforehand.
yeah, you absolutely got to get a sticky floor. So we're gonna have it in person, which is different. Yeah, it's not many festivals have done this yet. You know, the cool thing is, I own the theater that we do the festival in, and our whole staff got vaccinated this week, which is really exciting.
Oh, that's right, amazing. On. Congratulations. That's
yeah.
We're doing it right. Tim's vaccinated. So, you know, we're pretty pumped, you know, in terms of like Kansas City, like it was never crazy here, and our cases are really down. Our vaccinations are going up, and they're going to continue, I think, that trend up to the fest. So it's a good place to be. I think we have like 70 cases in all the city. The last I checked. So that's a pretty great spot to be in. So we're doing it. We're still doing it super safe. You know, we have all of the rules on the website, but you know, it's instead of four theaters with 500 seats or whatever, it's two theaters with like 150 seats. So it's not like a normal fest. We don't have a ton of guests. We're not doing, you know, all the stuff, the bells and whistles. Most of that's going to be online. So if you're watching this online or listening to this online or whatever it is, you could experience the entire festival this way. And doesn't that sound fun? That sounds fun to me.
That's kind of the one, how do you say this without sounding like an idiot, like saying the one nice thing about COVID? Like, no, the one
silver lining.
Yeah, silver lining. Okay, thank you guys for all those words. is that the festivals have gone virtual, and like us being like cold weather Canadians who get nothing, we've had so much like film fest opportunities and stuff, and this has been so awesome to do all this virtual stuff. And not only that, but like the events and stuff that you're normally like too tired to do because you've been watching movies in a dark theater for like 12 hours, like the after party stuff and the virtual events have been great because you can pop in and pop out, and there's not so much social requirement of them.
Or you could do it all pantsless, which is always
which is great,
right. Which I'm doing the podcast right now, so.
Weird aesthetic, Tim. You got a full coat on, and
no one expects me to not have pants on if I wear this jacket. I mean, like, of course you're cold. Why would you not have pants on? I'm cold because I don't have pants on.
You got to overcompensate on the top.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you talk about the social aspect because we all go to film fests a lot. You know, we put our own film fests on, and a lot of it is the people that you're gonna inevitably be with for the entire run of the fest. You're going to sit next to them. You're going to be in lines with them. You're going to chat with them. You're going to make new, you know, friends or film families, as it were.
Some you're sharing hotels with.
Yeah. You bump into them all the time, and then you maybe have breakfast or whatever, and you find new festival families. And that's kind of gone. So it is important, you know, when Tim and I talk about doing this, it's how can we bring the festival experience? How can we get Adam drunk on video and you have fun? That's what it becomes. But I mean, the reality is like, that's a very difficult thing to do. And even if there's cool programs, it's really trying to have, you know, live content that they have to go and engage with. And so I guess, Tim, you can talk a little bit about what we're doing on the interactive side.
Yeah. So we're doing a couple things. We're doing Gather Town. So we're going to be building a virtual kind of 8-bit world in there and recreating Screenland in there. So,
oh, that's cute.
You go in, you watch a movie, and then you come out and you want to talk about it in the lobby, in the bar, and just hang out and chat for a while. So we're basically building a virtual Screenland lobby. And then we'll also have like Theater One and Theater Two, and it's right sized the exact same way. It looks the same way. And we'll have some films that are like online already that are shorts or something that you can go in and actually watch. So you could watch those things with friends inside a theater. You can go up to private chat areas. So if you guys want to sit down at a table together and talk about a film and you maybe don't want everyone to hear your opinion on it, but you want to talk about it with your friends, you can go to a private chat. We'll have some cool hidden rooms in there too.
Ooh.
That you can kind of go in and play around with. That's fun. Whether it's a virtual maze or...
Listen, Tim, you're not joking when you... Okay. I've accidentally found a hidden room.
You got trapped.
And I can get out of this room. I was like...
So I was actually with friends talking and we're like, oh, we see Adam in here. And it's been like an hour that we've been talking. And we're like, where the fuck is Adam at? He's been in this... There's no one else in here except for him. And we walk around and you can find people, like you can click on it and it'll show you the path. So we go in and he's in Theater One and he's like stuck in a back room. And he's like, I've been here for an hour and I've just been watching a movie at my house on my own. I'm like, dude, it's not real. You can just leave anytime you want. Like,
well, don't you drop into the same spot when you respawn like too quickly? So wouldn't you just come back into that hidden room? Like, shit, I'm stuck here for eternity.
Stuck in here. Well, and I can edit
now.
I can like edit the boundaries live. So if I wanted to, I could trap any of you anywhere if I want. But yeah, it was hilarious. He was just like stuck in Theater One by himself for an hour.
Well, yeah, the whole gang shows up and they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, I literally can't get out of here. And like my phone was sitting next to me because I gave up. And I was like, well, someone will find me. I'll hear them. I'm watching like Legally Blonde or something.
Yeah, you were.
Like, as so. You do. Watching
Legally Blonde.
Oh, like, man.
Shut up. I got stuck in this room. And just leave it alone.
I will say, though, hearing you talk about like, oh, I can edit the boundaries at any time. Like, now I'm waiting for an 8-bit gather version of Saw where Tim is just this mastermind who's trapped people in a room. They got to solve puzzles. Otherwise, like a little like 8-bit guy on a bike's going to come in and wipe everybody out.
It's funny you say that because Darren Lynn Bousman is from Kansas City and I'm sure I could get him on a camera in a room somewhere and really screw with you guys if we really want to do that.
Just waiting. just say, Darren, we got something for you to do at the fest. It's going to be really simple. You really don't have to do a lot. And then it's like, cool. Okay. Just stay right here. Just hang out right here. And
just
then
wait.
You'll know when it's happening.
He does those interactive experiences too online. So it'd be like right up his alley.
That's very true.
Like, oh shit. The email did say, I want to play a game. I shouldn't have answered that email.
We thought they were just fucking around. But yeah, it's so we're going to have some fun things like that to do in there and some sponsor like the Arrow Lounge, Arrow Players launching.
Right on.
And they're one of the big sponsors along with a couple of other Logboat Brewing Company, Four Hands Brewing Company. So you'll see some stuff like that randomly in there too. But yeah, it'll be a good time. And then we'll also have Clubhouse. You know, if you've already got that on your phone, and you're more used to that because it is a little harder to do gather on your phone versus laptop. So we'll also have some gather kind of drop-ins and daily hangouts there too. So happy hours on the weekend and gather. Of course, you can get in there anytime you want during the fest. And then for Clubhouse, it'll be a little more accessible, I should say. So,
except for Android users.
Yeah.
Take that,
except
John.
Except for Android.
So we got something for both people, and then we'll also have
both types of people,
Android users and everyone else.
And then we'll have live trivia too. A couple.
Right on.
That's awesome,
man. Those are like two of the. I mean, hell, there's 100 things.
Karaoke. I know.
There's a lot of things I'm missing about film festivals, but yeah, trying out local like new beers from local breweries and trivia. Oh,
and
man.
Together, those are a great combination.
That's a great afternoon. Yeah, shit. So thank you for bringing that to a virtual space. Yeah.
I think we're doing three. Well, two official trivias and then one like kind of hybrid game show trivia thing. But have you guys played Ted Gagan's final exam?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay,
so he's doing the first trivia and then we do our own weekly trivia. So we'll do the second And then the Nightmare Junkhead podcast, they do their own kind of crazy smorgasbord shit. I don't even
game
know.
Game show hybrid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds crazy.
Cool. It's crazy. Is drunk a requirement or?
Well, it's
encouraged.
Heavily suggested.
I'll be there.
Yeah. And so,
we
Tim.
Have promo codes for beer. So.
What about, so tell us a little bit of about a few of the shorts that you want everybody to check out at the festival. Obviously all of them. You want them to watch all of the shorts. They've got time. They can see them all. But if they only had time for a small handful, what should they watch?
Yeah. So we have 39 shorts. It's about 6.5 hours of shorts.
That's a good smorgasbord of shorts.
Yes. It's 5 different blocks. And they're all about 80 minutes or so a piece. So it's about like watching one movie when you sit down.
Right on.
What I did is I actually picked one short out of every block.
Oh, cool.
That I really liked. So it's kind of like, well, I like these, but to watch them, you got to go to all the blocks.
Yeah. Love it.
Oh,
really living in that jigsaw brain already. Okay.
Right.
You got to set it up and gather. Like,
right.
Well, and they're not always the first one, right? They're like, it could be the last one, could be the third one. You can't skip through. You don't know which one my favorite is.
It's absolutely true. I did that, watch actually. yeah, I'll start out with the Occult Sun. It's a comedy and it deals with exactly what it sounds like.
All right.
The occult and someone that wants to try and birth the son of the devil. It's a really fun horror comedy that I liked a lot. Body of the Mind is kind of a little bit horror, a little bit sci-fi. It feels like it might be in the future, but it also feels kind of gritty and kind of modern day.
Right on.
It's a harder one to explain, but I like that one a lot. It's got a little No Country for Old Men-ish vibe to it, and you'll see what I mean by that.
100% watching that one.
Diabla. This one is kind of a revenge film a little bit, a little more social commentary in there. It's a Spanish film. And then we have The Relic by way of The Thing. And I don't think I have to say much more than that. And it's incredible. It's got great special effects. And it jumps right in, you know, with it being a short, jumps right into the action. So it's fantastic. Green Cobra is an interesting one. I don't know if you guys have heard or seen this one before.
No.
It's been around a little bit. But it's comedy. It's kind of a literal point of view social commentary where they will stop and pull characters out and do side interviews, almost like it's a documentary. but it's also a true crime torture type of thing.
Okay.
This sounds awesome.
That's great.
And it's shot beautifully. It's wonderful. And then the last one's Koreatown Ghost Story, which is a paranormal kind of folktale type of film with some also great cinematography in it. So, but yeah, those are my picks that's one from every block that you can check out. Like I said, there's 5. We usually start with one on preview night to kick things off in person and virtual. And then we'll have the rest of the 4 over the weekend and then available on VOD the rest of the week. So those are my picks. And then we have almost 30 feature films, and 8 of those are premieres, either world, US, or North American. So I wanted to bring that up too.
Cool. That's awesome. Like that's going to be like a killer amount of content.
Yeah. It's a solid lineup.
Yeah. It's our first year doing 2 weekends. We had to extend it because, you know, what we've learned over our course of last, like all the virtual fests, is there's just simply not enough time. Like,
yeah,
we give you like 3 or 5 days. And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself. So 10 days seems about enough to be able to, you know, we have about 60 pieces of film, you know, short and feature content. And then we have all this like bonus stuff, you know, interviews and panels and games and all the stuff that you can do. So it's a good, like, you could probably comfortably do half it without feeling like you're going to, you know, explode.
and so like what's the sort of Fest 101 stuff for Panic Fest? Like when you, like every festival seems to be a little different, right? Like is everything on demand or do you have time slots, and if you reserve, are you able to watch on demand after that?
Yeah, so it is pretty much everything you said, actually.
Okay.
So
nailed it.
We'll release a schedule, and there will be individual tickets available too, so you can buy a full Fest pass or you can buy films a la carte. You know, the best deal is buying the pass. It's cheaper than it's ever been for us. And when you're looking at like, you know, 30 features, 39 shorts. It's kind of insane. But those tickets will go on sale the week of, you know, leading up to the festival. But yeah, so we'll have everything scheduled. So if there's an event Friday at 7 o'clock, once that event happens that you claim tickets for, if you have a pass, you buy a ticket for, then it'll be available in VOD through the run of the fest or until it hits its capacity, whatever. So that's kind of the weird, funky thing with the virtuals is, you know, they're usually geo-locked to either, you know, your state, city, or country. Sorry, this is a podcast that's hybrid, I guess, Canada and America, but and then a lot of that's like the studio is just like, well, we only own the rights to, you know, United States or whatever it is. So they do lock out those like capacities, which is kind of interesting. And they're all different. There's no like rhyme or reason. Like in person, they're usually like, just don't show it more than 3 times. And we're like, we're going to show it 10, whatever it is. You know, so that's like kind of the different thing with online is like every film kind of has some certain requirements. And, you know, some, we have a couple that are only playing in person. And that's just, you know, usually set by and dictated by the studios. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Tim and I did Tricks and Treats, which was our special Halloween version of Panic Fest this last October. We kind of like learned how to do the fest without doing it. And it's totally weird because usually Tim and I kind of don't, we're kind of like just chilling up until like the 7 days before the fest when like all the content's arriving, we're like putting up all the banner, doing all this stuff for the in-person stuff. But now it's like for 3 weeks, we're just like, I hope it all.
Because we have in-person and virtual to figure out. And then like I'm building Gather Town that we normally wouldn't have, or, you know, we're building video interfaces for the live feeds and bonus content, that type of stuff. So yeah, that's different from that perspective. And I think doing Tricks and Treats gave us a run at it, kind of a test, right, to figure out how to do some of that stuff and answer some questions that we'd be better prepared for this fest. And I think it was great that we were able to do that in October to be able to prepare for this.
Yeah, that's so smart because, well, one, too, like back in October, we had no idea how long this was going. I mean, there was no vaccine by then. And we were just like, well, this might be festivals forever.
Right. Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's definitely something that we want to look at moving forward, too, as a potential option. You know, we'll see how it goes for the full fest and full run, if it makes sense to keep doing it. But it is kind of nice because then you get an option for people that maybe can't travel. Mm-hmm. Or if we sell out of tickets in person, there's still at least an option. So we'll see how it goes. But right now I think we feel pretty good about it.
I didn't even think about that for people that are like local, that if mm-hmm. you can't get a ticket to go into the theater, you could just watch it at home, which obviously everybody's taken advantage of across the country. But correct me if I'm wrong, Panic Fest 2020 was the last in-person film festival before the lockdown. And now are you still officially the first in-person festival after the lockdown?
You know, I think
pretty
so.
Sure.
So
this is pretty cool.
Right after us, our second week, Florida Film Fest starts, and they're in person. But I don't think that there's been another in person. If there is, it's like maybe a very tiny fest. I'm saying that, and like somebody's like, you know,
don't forget about it. Tiny. We are definitely, I think, though, we were the last genre fest that was completely in person, and we'll be the first genre fest to have some capacity in person, which is completely weird. We didn't plan for that necessarily. And we do have some filmmakers that were at that one that have films in this one. They're like, it's great. I mean, they won't be able to come, but in their mind, they're like, oh man, that was the last one I was at. And now I'm in it again. And so, yeah, from a genre perspective,
we could fully say from a genre, but I think we might be overall too, because we happened after Sundance. And then the next festival was South by, canceled. And then, you know, there may have been a fest, you know, a small fest that maybe went on in a small town or something. But in terms of like, you know, I guess top 50 festivals in the US, I think we're number 50. I don't know.
Number one for opening.
Yeah. So, you know, and part of that is that, you know, we have the advantage that Tim has the ability to do all the design work anytime he wants. I own the theater we're in. So we could trial and error all this stuff. We could do, you know, we're already doing that as our day job. You know, I've been doing online rentals, you know, that's become a thing for a lot of movie theaters. And we've been doing those since the first week of shutdown. So mm-hmm. we already kind of learned how to do all this stuff. And then when we reopened, you know, I was on all the panels, like, here's how we can safely reopen for movie theaters. And so we, you know, we were on the ground floor of all that stuff. So yes, you know, we were for sure the last genre fest, but maybe one of the last film fest. And we were very successful. We had huge, you know, it was our best year. And then, you know, we knew what we needed to do to get to this point. So we did move our traditional fest isn't at the end of January. And we did move it back a couple of months because we wanted to get as far away from winter as possible, because we knew winter was going to be the shit show. And it was. And if we would have done it that time, I mean, it would have been a disaster. Right. So I think we made the right decision going where we're at and holding the small amount of people that'll be here. So, you know, it's still kind of a weird foreign thing for a lot of people who haven't had theaters or go to groups, and especially in like different countries and states. You know, ours has been relatively, you know, it's been impacted, but it's not been fully shut down like, you know, California and New York has. So it is probably weird for people to be like, you're holding a film fest right now? And it's like, yeah, but we've actually been doing movies and we haven't had any cases traced back to us. None of our staff's got it. You know, we put all these procedures in and we've been successful. So, you know, if we weren't, listen, I'm a hypochondriac. I'm not going to do it just because I wouldn't want to feel safe coming in.
And I'm diabetic. So I wouldn't go if it wasn't safe. And yeah, you put in like UV lighting and your air duct system and wipe down, you know, seats and spray after every screening. Everyone's wearing masks. So yeah, we've got like all that precautionary stuff in place for people to feel safe, come back to the theater. And if you don't, the virtual options there. We can hand out online and gather and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, Adam and Screenland has done a great job, and outdoor screenings, which I don't think we're going to have for this fest, but you know, he's been doing that type of thing too. So lots of options there for Screenland.
That's so cool. Actually, while we're talking about the history of Panic Fest, can you guys tell us a little bit about the very first one, the very first Panic Fest you guys put on, what it looked like and compared to now?
Kim, did you look up the first Panic Fest by chance?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I was like,
you can totally lie. Wait, if that's
Adam, I'm going to step in for just a second here to start off with, because you said this is the first time we've done two weekends, and technically it's not.
No, you're right.
Here's the ironic thing is this is kind of bizarre. The very first one was in 2013 and we did it in April. And at the time there was two different Screenlands, one downtown, one in North Kansas City, and Screenlands in North Kansas City. And so we did them on two different weekends. So we actually had like a weird week break in between.
Oh, okay.
And we did two weekends instead at two different theaters, which kind of had completely different kind of vibes and different programming for each. I think we maybe did some repeats. We had vendors. So we've had those since the beginning. But yeah, it was stretched over that, and it was in April. Our normal fest takes place at the last weekend of January every year, normally. So we had our first one in April. Now we're doing this one in April because of the pandemic. So it's a little interesting, and it's the first time we've ever went two weekends also. So it's kind of hearkening back to that. But I will say the first fest, and Adam, you can speak for this yourself. I remember thinking like, oh, we're going to start a film fest. Like you just casually asked me one time, I was hosting like a Walking Dead event or something at Screenland. And in between, you're like, hey, would you want to start a film fest? I'm like, yeah, I do want to start a film fest. So in my mind, I'm like, we're just going to get whatever we want, right? Like that's how film fest work. You just schedule, you know, you make your programming and that's what it is. No, it's much harder than that. And you don't get everything you want. You get probably like half, if that. And then you go from there. And we've learned, I think, how to curate things better. We've learned how to add on things, especially in the last like 3 to 4 years, additional programming like podcasts, like Last Podcast on the Left, and what that can do to draw in a crowd. You know, it was 3 or 4 years ago, and they were still kind of on the cusp of blowing up, and the crowds that was able to draw in for new audiences from all different states. It's like, okay, how do we layer in those types of events with vendors, with audience participation, Q&A, and then bring in more filmmakers, which we've seen probably in the last like 3 to 4 years, more and more filmmakers coming in. And I mean, if we had just filmmakers in this year, we couldn't sell any tickets, right? Like that's usually how many come in, which is really great for middle America. I always see when we have write-ups on sites, they're like, oh, that Midwest, they're really doing something right. They got the public is there and everything. Yeah. So yeah, I think we've learned a lot. What do you think, Adam, though?
And- I mean, okay. So we'll preface this all by saying I had never worked in a theater. I had in any capacity.
That's right. Yeah.
Prior to owning a theater.
I forgot.
I had made movies and I had watched a lot of movies. And I was of the utmost opinion that my opinion was the best opinion. So that's why I was like, I will take over this theater. Yeah. And this is August of 2012. I think I asked him this October 2012. Like, hey, you want to make a film fest?
Right.
April 2013, the first fest happened. So the sheer naivety, I guess, of how we approach this, how everything, you know, that first year of owning the theater is just like, come in like, why aren't anybody showing these movies in my town? I'll just go get them and I'll show them and I'll make millions of dollars.
I love it.
That's how we would do it.
That's my kind of business plan.
Even after hearing this, that's how we're probably still going to do it.
he's like, let me grab a pen and paper. Let's get this blueprint, baby. And then the reality was very quick. It was like, oh no. We were still 35 millimeter film at the time. So it was like, wake up call, you got to go digital and spend all this money you don't have, and you just spend a bunch of money to take over this theater. And I was like, oh, shit. And then also no one wants to give you any movies because you're a nobody. You know, we're in the town, we're in the hall of AMC. You know, the multiplex was born in Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
AMC's headquarters
HQ here.
Yeah. And then B&B Theaters, which is, I think it's a U.S. theater only, but it's a top six theater chain. So we have these big monster chains here. And it was like, we're one of the only locals, and they're like, good luck, buddy. So the first year it was just like, you know, we didn't do submissions. We were like trying to handpick stuff. It was trying to like make all these relationships happen that we didn't have at the time. And, you know, I still think we put on like, there was nothing comparable to it in Kansas City. So, you know, there was no real litmus test on what we were doing. And it wasn't a bad fest. It was just like a very slim festival. I think we have like 15 movies over the two weekends. I think we probably, of those 15, probably seven were classics. But at the time, like classic cinema wasn't as prominent as it is now. Like now, like everybody's doing classics.
Yeah.
So it was just a little bit different, I think. And that was kind of like the second year we grew. And really, I think by year five, it was like, oh, things have changed. We were doing submissions now. People were like actively trying to come to the fest. You know, we had gotten to the point where we were nearing sellouts in our two screens. So at the time we were only two screens, now we're four. And that fifth year really like started turning, I think, the page for us. And the sixth year is when we like fully, I think, became who we are. And that's when we had Last Podcast Left. That's when we brought in more podcasts. I think we had like 25 actual films, feature films, with a handful being premieres. And then it just kind of blew up from there. And then now, you know, we get, you know, hundreds of submissions, and we have studios that are like reaching out to us directly. You know, the big thing that's really cool for us, you know, as people who work with all these filmmakers, we try to make as much happen as we can. We you know, we want the best for all these films. But this year, you know, we're already seeing studios, like big studios, reach out to us to look at purchasing films. And that's like the dream, I think, to be a festival where things get picked up. And last year we had a couple of things like that start to happen where movies that premiered here now got distribution deals that were good and went on. Like Uncle Peckerhead was one that premiered.
Yay! Yes.
Loved Uncle Peckerhead.
So good. And we were the world premiere of that. And it went on to get distribution out of the fest. And there's, you know, a few other options like that.
Vice Guide to Bigfoot, which just got picked up.
Yep.
Screened last year, which is now 15 things, you know, you don't know about Bigfoot. Number one may shock you.
Yeah. Like they literally put a clickbait title for the name.
Let's go BuzzFeed with this.
So funny.
Yeah. So they just got picked up. So yeah, there's stuff like that has been awesome to see kind of flourish, and that we're able to hopefully be a part of that.
Yeah. So then, and then, you know, we're on the cusp of year 10. So why not get weird as shit and have it in the middle of the pandemic and be one of the first fest back?
Have it called Panic Fest. What were we thinking? Oh, wow. Man. Should have changed it just for this year. And it was like formerly known as Panic Fest. We'll see you next year.
Completely sane and everything safe fest.
Absolutely relaxed fest. So it's been a roller coaster. You know, we look at next year's 10 years, which is just absurd that it's gone by so quickly.
Well, 10 fest, we technically squeezed two in the first year.
that's true.
Technically, but still 10 Fest. I mean,
yeah, we'll say it's year 10. We call it,
we'll go it like basically is. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is strange, but it's cool. You know, it's cool to be, like, every year, like, more people find out about us. And that's like, I think it's always the cool thing. I mean, you guys know, like, when people like, you're like, oh my gosh, you know who I am. Like, you've heard about me. Just like how like endearing it is. Like, cause you, a lot of it is you're hopeful that that's going to happen. But the other part of it is just like, I just want to put on a cool thing for me. Like, you know,
I would want to go to this fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care if anybody else does. I hope they do. But like, this is the Adam and Tim show, really.
That's the new fest name just for this year.
So can you take like sole responsibility or ownership of the genre scene in Kansas City now? Like, is it all yours?
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's you know, again, like, we're in the Hall of AMC. There's no other theater competing with us for any of this type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, certainly like Panic Fest is like the spot, the hot spot, you know, you gotta wait outside because it's the club is busy. But yeah, I mean, like, we, you know, that's kind of what we wanted to be. I think our first conversation was like, how do we make like Fantastic Fest for Kansas City, but more specifically like horror? And that was kind of where we like our beginning direction, which is hilarious. Tim and I have not been to Fantastic Fest.
Even to we were just day. Talking about it. We're like, we should go this year. Yeah, I was going to get into like the 101 of Fest that you asked about earlier, which we can get to in a minute, going to like South By or conventions that are way too big to try and figure out what you're doing at, like Comic-Con, and taking little pieces of that and then infusing other things that we've heard from friends that have went, had films at Fantastic Fest, and trying to bring that into ours and kind of make it our own. And then, you know, layering like podcast, which I feel like when we were doing that, there wasn't a lot of Fest having podcasts as programming yet. And now, especially in virtual, you know, there's more of that. So
yeah,
I think looking at other Fests that we admired and then trying to curate and cultivate something of our own, especially in Kansas City with the community, and then build that network outside of it where we get to stay in touch with filmmakers that submit films. Like I talked to a lot of people that submitted shorts all year long, just as friends, like just chatting about stuff. So I think that's been the groundwork for the genre kind of community here. And then with great things like Kansas City Horror Club, Todd Sheets, if we go old school, Todd Sheets starting some kind of cult type movies like 20, 25 years ago at this point. But yeah, I mean, there was genre roots here. And I think we've just helped kind of bring it to the forefront, and then some great filmmakers and actors that have come out of Kansas City have also helped amplify that recently.
Well, and I think we're such a small town that when people come in from like, you know, much bigger cities like LA and New York and, you know, even like Chicago and Austin, especially last year, we had so many people come in. I mean, we had, you know, I think we have about 450 seats, and I think we had 175 passes of like press and filmmakers mm-hmm. and things like that that were in here. And they all were like, it's so like it's what like somebody like Fantastic Fest wants to try to continue to be, but they've gotten so big because we're, you know, part of it is Kansas City is also like growing kind of cool community and city, and everything's like just kind of weird and kind of quirky. So I think it fits in, like, you know, our after party is at this like real cool little dive bar we go to down the street.
Yay!
Right on.
It fits in with it. It's like, why do you have this weird giant dive bar? Why is it so big and nobody's here? And it's like, well, I don't know.
It's sitting in a room. Yeah. I remember standing with AJ Bowen. He specifically was saying that this has a vibe of an early Fantastic Fest, and that he loved it. And he almost missed a little bit of the early Fantastic Fest vibe. And then, you know, moments like Joe Lynch and Adam Green will just hang out in the loft that's above the theater with till like 3 a.m. talking with fans and Adam, like just hanging out. Like those little moments, I think, make it really special too.
That's right. Awesome.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right on. And so, you know, those bigger festivals, those bigger festivals like Fantasia, big festival,
yeah,
TIFF,
yeah,
you know, big. they hire people to watch movies and then sort of like pass along stuff to the people that are making the decisions. So they only have to watch a few movies. You're watching all of these movies, aren't you?
Yeah. See how tired we both look.
So how many movies did you have to watch for this year? Like how many submissions did you get?
In pre-pro when I said I was up to like 3 a.m. for a week.
Yeah. I don't know. So Tim and I usually split it. So I usually watch the features. He watches the shorts. And then we like where we have like
cross-pollinate
areas. Yeah. We're, you know, we have similar tastes. So it's like, okay, I know this movie is 100%. And we've always been right about that. I think and part of that, what works with that is that, you know, we save stuff for each other to watch. Like this year I have, I think, actually watched every feature, which is crazy and exhausting. Usually I try to purposefully keep a couple not in my, you know, just so I can go watch stuff at the fest.
That's a good idea.
This year's kind of weird. But usually I'll push those to Tim or we'll get a recommendation for somebody. But yeah, generally we watch, well, I mean, for all submissions. Yeah. I mean, for sure. We watch every fucking submission and it's exhausting because, you know, movies are long.
When you have to watch like 200 of them. Yeah, movies are long.
It's funny because I'll watch the shorts. So in my mind, I'm like, I have an easier job. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, there's a lot of shorts here. Like, then I think about how many movies that sounds like. I'm like, oh, OK, that's more shorts than features, but then you look at the runtime and it's like, okay, it's about the same. So yeah, I think we've never, I don't think, especially in submissions, ever been at odds with each other and be like, absolutely not. Why would you put that in here? And it is because we have such similar taste, I think, in crossover in that sense.
Like we've never been like, whoops.
yeah.
During the fest, like, ooh, that, and, yeah.
Or, I don't think at least we've passed on anything and been like, well, that was a mistake that was given to us or that was submitted to us. So it's a little different with studios because then we're looking at list to curate for studio stuff. And with Adam's relationship at Screenland with all studios, he gets to build those relationships year round. He's able to help out with that side. And then on the blog and kind of journal side for Downright Creepy, I have a lot of PR contacts. So between the two of us with his studio contacts and my PR contacts that are handling stuff and marketing, whether it's sometimes it's direct PR people from the studios, we have the connections there to at least start a conversation about something. It doesn't always pan out. You know, we don't always get what we want. We've been very close on some stuff that's been big. And I think we'll eventually get there. But yeah, we watch a ton of stuff.
This year there was a lot of big stuff that I think we would have had, but the pandemic has made, especially theatrical releases, so questionable. And bottom lines are just like kind of destroyed for everybody, you know, studios and theaters. And so I think people are trying to protect their content a little bit more and really make sure that, you know, every dollar counts. So there's some films that I think had it not been a pandemic year, I think we would have actually had and made some really big strides, you know, stuff that, you know, Fantasia may have normally had or even like South by, you know, like I look at our list and we, you know, I attended Sundance and South by virtually. And I'm like, as good, if not better, like, you know, as I go through it, I'm like, and at some point, you know, especially like as you get further into the year, festivals start replicating themselves and you're like, oh, this is basically the same fest as this plus this one movie. So it is like, that's always kind of been our advantage. I think being early in the year, either we are the very last stop for somebody that maybe came out middle of the year and we're at the beginning of the next year, or mostly we're like right next to Sundance, or were the premiere of stuff, especially genre stuff, as you know, those festivals, they always have a couple of them, but I think they're like, we'll take three real horror movies, and you know, they're studio horror movies usually, or like small studios like A24 or something like that. So I don't know what this I'm about right now, but take the microphone, Tim.
I do think this year's been unique in terms of timing, because we're in April, so we're past Sundance and we're just past South By. So we kind of have the best of both of those worlds a little bit, where maybe it's only screened at one of those and now we're the second. But then we've also layered in with, you know, 8 premieres that haven't been at either one of those fests. So now we're not only picking and pulling from that, but we're getting premieres or some studio stuff that hasn't been out yet, that's not necessarily, I guess, considered world premiere or something like that, but it's North American premiere or US or whatever. So I think it's interesting timing for us, because it's not something we usually do in April. But like Adam said, January kind of works well too. So it'll be interesting in year 10, as we continue to build, to see if we hit on some of those things that maybe we just missed out on in the past. But having the lineup and programming we do now, I think it's a nice mixture of kind of the best of everything genre that's out right now.
But I think Kim asked the question, watching content, especially submissions, you know, in the first couple of years we didn't do submissions. It's tricky because it is, I mean, I guess we're small fest in the sense that it is literally just Tim and I that do the entire fest.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
That's amazing though. That's so fantastic.
The week of, or the weekend of.
We have some volunteers. Yeah. But we didn't really have volunteers until like 2 or 3 years.
2 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And so like, you really, I mean, now we're old men. Now we're like,
we can't.
We're still, you'll still see Adam like racing upstairs to the projection to make sure the film's ready, and you'll still see me like taking out trash every now and then. So I mean, it's not.
Well, and Tim's making it sound like I don't have a staff. I do have a staff. I'm just
right.
Like,
yes,
you know, I'm like, so because you know, it's my theater and you know, our fest, and I'm a filmmaker too. I'm like, so like, and the filmmaker's sitting right there. I'm like, oh, is it, look, how do they look? Do they like this? Do they like what's happening?
Okay. Like,
or there's times I'm sitting in the theater and then I'll walk off to the side and be like, turn the sound up a little bit.
Tim, I'm in another screening. but I mean, that's like the thing, I think, as like filmmakers, you're like, if I submit to this festival, who's going to watch it, and how long are they going to watch it? And does that person, like, what is the value or the say they have? You know, with us, like with Panic Fest, it is like truly, and maybe it won't be like this forever. You know, maybe we'll be big time one day. But you know, like just being able to, like, I guess, watch everything and really know the content that's going into there. Cause I've been at festivals where I'm like, oh my gosh, they did not watch this fucking movie, because this is not quality for the festival. And I think everyone's had that experience. And you know, as I prefaced earlier, there are always films that I know aren't for me and probably aren't for everybody that are going to see it, and maybe that I really did like and I thought people would like. And so we always do program things that we believe in, or we believe that somebody else will really like and connect with. And that is like the difficult thing. I mean, it's the nightmare of like being a screenwriter or a filmmaker and like trying to get your script read, and you're like, it's just sitting on a desk or in a bin, recycle bin somewhere, or trash can, or whatever it is. It's like,
oh, I feel that.
Is anybody giving me a chance? And you know, at least for us, we can say yes, you know, and we do have other festival friends, and we do know, yes, that certain festivals do, but also I do know that certain festivals take your money. Like, and that's unfortunate. And that's like the fear, unfortunately. And we see, you know, especially in the last couple of years, we see a lot of cons and a lot of festivals that are trying to take advantage of filmmakers and film lovers and just pop up overnight and maybe never return again, or they move cities and they do kind of questionable tactics. So unfortunately, you know, that does exist. So it is a worry. And as a filmmaker who's trying to get your work seen, it's expensive. So we try to, you know, we've always kept our submissions low because we want people to feel the value when they come here and they experience the fest, and hopefully they'd be a part, you know, and that all costs money, you know, traveling and stuff with your film, everything costs money. So it's all like, we're just a couple of guys who love movies and love putting on a fest, and we want to have good content and we want to support the filmmakers. So it all goes together and like, yes, we're going to watch your movie. No, we're not going to overcharge you. Yes, we want you to come. And, you know, we want to like highlight you as much as we're going to highlight whoever the biggest guest at the fest might be. And we're all going to sit at the same shitty after bar together and drink the same shitty games, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, we get it. Like I said earlier, we keep in touch with a lot of them too. So it's not even just like, screen the film and then get out of here. Right? It was a cool movie and now we move on. Like a lot of times we stay in touch with them. So, I mean, I love that aspect too. Not only do we get a show.
Right? You like the friends aspect, Tim.
Yeah. I like having friends, guys.
Yeah. I also like film friends. Film friends are the best friends.
Yeah.
They are.
I know, I'm so bummed out. There are so many people that I haven't seen this year that like I only see at film festivals.
Yeah, like so many film festival friends that just like we haven't bumped into, and it just feels weird. Like this is the time of year where you'd see this person.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're talking about Panic Fest, but South By, like we go cover South By, Adam and I and Eric Havens and some other people that write on Downright Creepy, and we go cover the fest, and it's a source of creativity too. You know, you get to go and hang out with people, and South By is a little different. You know, there's a lot of other stuff going on. And same with San Diego Comic-Con, I go and cover that. And that's a huge inspiration for me as well. And it's completely different than a genre fest, but those kind of sources of inspiration and creativity, not only because we get to see people that I don't get to see normally. I even have a friend that lives in Kansas City. I used to work 3 blocks from, and I would only see him in San Diego every year. So yeah, I mean, I miss seeing everyone, but it's still going to be a good experience. So
yeah, and you guys sound like the best film fans to put together a genre film festival. So like, I'm really stoked for everybody to check it out. I can't wait for us to finally get to Panic
Fest. As soon as the border is open, we're coming.
Oh yeah, we'll be there for that 10-year anniversary. I'm excited.
Yes. Yes, you can bring your little dog and you got an RV, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be in your lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's perfect. Yeah, you should just camp out in the lot and then you'll
get... Oh, yeah, those are just our podcasters.
Broadcast station.
We had Goblin here doing Suspiria a couple years ago, and they did 2 shows over 2 days, so they just lived in the lot for a couple of days.
It was right on. Goblin's in the lot.
Yeah. No big deal.
That was my email to the city. I was like, hey, listen, can you not take them because they're Italians and
they don't take well to that.
They don't take well. I don't know if you've heard their music. They might curse you. Yeah. So I mean, like one real last quick question. Like I'm like everybody, I'm just curious like what the future's gonna look like, and you know, and I'm curious if you have any thoughts on what the future of film festivals are gonna look like. Like chances are we're probably going to have more virtual content year over year than we ever did before, but I'm also starting to see like that cycle where, you know, a film like hits the film festival circuit and then goes to theaters a lot quicker. Like what kind of changes do you see coming that are probably here to stay?
Well, John, the future's so bright, I gotta wear shades.
Oh,
first everyone's like, "Fuck that guy!" I'm not going to this festival. You're right. What's interesting is the theatrical window. So everything's, you know, related to each other, and I think more interestingly, you're gonna see festivals that aren't put on by theaters themselves change dramatically because they don't really understand like the theatrical windows of things, and those are just kind of completely thrown out. And so especially this year when like everyone's gonna be playing catch up, right, with making movies for the next couple of years. So right now, you know, we have inventory is so low that most of the films at our fest are probably, I would be shocked if they're not sold by the end of the festival, because people just desperately need content. And there's not a lot of stuff being made. And so I think, and you know, some of the things that are from studios that are being North American or world premieres, we're just now seeing the release date is like, oh, this is going to be 2 weeks later or 45
days
later.
Yeah.
What? And that's just like, there's windows open. They're trying to push product out as quickly as possible, or they have, you know, a new quarter's coming up and they got to hit big numbers at that time. And those are, that's just stuff that we never really had to consider before. So the whole world of like, of cinema, I guess, is changing, and that's going to have an impact on film fests. But the cool thing is, if you're an indie filmmaker in the last 12 months, you've had this mega window of opportunity, bigger than ever in the history of film, to make a movie, doesn't matter what it is or the budget. And if you were attended, if you, you know, no, never before could we attend Sundance casually, and we were able to do that, and we were able to see these films that were much smaller, get in and work and be like, oh shit, that is very tangible. And probably not since 1999 or 98 when the Blair Witch played there, has something felt so tangible again. And I think the opportunity, you know, the technology is certainly there. We can all go make a movie, you know, movie on our phones. We say it all the time. We see iPhones shoving in our face, like make a movie, you know, make a movie on your phone, throw it down a fucking stairwell into water. It doesn't matter because it's indestructible. And it's, you don't know this, John, I know. But but you have all these opportunities. And I think there's going to be a lot of people taking advantage of them. And I think genre specifically is going to react very well to this, because that's what genre does. Genre, especially, I mean, like not only, you know, this crazy, you know, pandemic climate that's going to certainly have a lot of people wanting to have interesting conversations, but the political social climate that we're going through is already, you know, going to determine so much, so many new voices and so many new opinions and so much new content in a similar way that I think that, you know, the early 80s did. And we got, you know, the true birth of punk rock, and people are like, it started in the 70s. I'm like, I know, I love punk rock, but the mid 80s, you know, the peak. I think a similar thing, you're going to have all these things happen, and that's going to help film fests, and probably going to change for like distributors too, because I think indie film is going to start to be king, I think, of what you see, especially as you see studios just make their own streaming service.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like, why would any of the huge studios give anybody their films if they can just throw them on HBO Max or Disney Plus for a month and then just release them anyways?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very optimistic, but it is going to be very weird and probably very difficult for especially festivals that show everything, that have been around for maybe 40 or 50 years, that have a much older board of directors, and most of them have boards of directors. It's not just like people like Tim and I that are just you know, the co-kings of the castle. that, you know, they have boards of directors, and you know, they the ones that are here are all, I would say the youngest person on them is like 40, and they're not very apt to like pivoting and changing and adapting. They know what they've done for the last 30 or 40 or 50 years or whatever it is. And it's hard to change. And I think that this year you're going to see a lot of people maybe failing and to figure out what the future really looks like. But I'm optimistic for the future of cinema. I'm optimistic for the future of film fests. I think this is cool. And I think that you're going to see like people like us that are on the younger side that are trying to create new opportunities, really navigate a little bit better than I think the bigger guys. But certainly virtual, from our perspective, we could only get 450 people here. So keeping that small town aesthetic, but growing our brand and more opportunities means either adding more days or weekends, which is difficult from a number of different perspectives. But having this virtual window, I think, is really cool, because if I am halfway, if I can, I'll always attend Sundance the way I did this year.
Oh, yeah.
A single movie for $15 that's world premiering at Sundance is 100% worth it. And I think that they should see that value too, because that's a festival that by all accounts has been locked out for the normal person. The normies can't get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think, Tim? Am I wrong?
Well, first, I didn't realize that Mark Duplass was going to be at our film festival, but it sounds like it, that you're the keynote. Like, just go make films. Get your iPhone. Indy. So thank you for that inspiration.
Down a well.
I can't wait for everyone to see that. I mean, everything that you said, I would agree with. And I think that the virtual format won't die in some way, shape, or form, whether it's bonus content or having a virtual ticket. But in terms of Panic Fest, you know, you said we have capped at like 450. I mean, ideally, we'd sell out our fest in like year 10, year 12, whatever. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, we have to do pop-up satellite things or something like that, where we grow by year 20, if we're doing this by year 20. And it spills out and it becomes something even bigger. And it started at Screenland and it expands. But I think the virtual format is probably here to stay some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, people have gotten used to it and it's more accessible to a lot of people. So yeah, I think that's probably the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great year for film fans across the country, across the globe that haven't had a chance to visit festivals like yours. And it's pretty rad that they finally have a chance to do that. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. We like to ask everybody who comes on the show what your dream double feature would be at the drive-in. You guys are uniquely prepared to answer this question because it's pretty much your job. But Tim, Adam, if you could play any two movies, what would you play?
For some reason, I want to talk about the movie Monkey Bone.
I love Monkey Bone. The other day. Yes.
Monkey Bone and then Monkey Bone again.
I love it.
but is that a good movie? Monkey Bone is a horny movie, right?
It is a very horny movie.
Okay. Way too horny for
and
a monkey.
Farty. It's horny and farty.
All right. Is it more horny than What Lies Beneath or just as horny?
That's but What Lies Beneath is mom horny, which yeah. is classy yeah. horny. It's not like CBS, it's not actually CBS horny. Yeah. 9 p.m. on a Tuesday horny.
I don't know who thought Harrison Ford talking dirty was a good Ooh. Idea, but it's not.
Oh, you mean when the neighbors are loudly having sex?
Think we could take him on? Yeah. Yeah.
Harrison's never been more flat than he is in this role, but I think you can take him on. He looks pretty good.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That is our surprise screening on Saturday night at midnight.
That movie still rules. You should only ever watch it on VHS, but it rules. But my double feature is, so I own a movie theater, as I said in here. It is one that year one I did, and I did it to rub in the face of a lot of people who had never seen this movie, because at the time it was a very difficult movie to get. And that is The Goonies, and The Goonies goes first, right? And it's a classic. Everybody likes The Goonies. It's tried and true, right? And then you show them up. You come out in the intermission, you're like, oh, how much fun was that? Yeah, everybody was crazy.
Goonies.
Like, the next movie, though, I don't think a lot of people have seen, but I'm here to tell you, it's the superior 80s kids film, and this is The Monster Squad. And then you proceed to show them The Monster Squad, which is a much shorter film, a much more adult film, and a much more interesting film, and with more badass kids.
Nards.
So there it
Nards
is.
The yeah.
versus Monster Squad.
Yeah,
that is such a great double feature. Like, honestly, yeah. there's two, like, Monster Squad does too many things right. It's yeah. got like the best Dracula. It's got one of the best werewolf takes. It's got a fucking kid who's spying on a drive-in from his roof. I grew up idolizing that moment. I was like, I want to live in a house that overlooks a drive-in theater so bad.
Well, and there's like the weird, there's a weird, like, the plot of the movie is they need the virgin's blood. And it's just like, oh, you know, it's like, my sister's a virgin. And then like, but none of the younger, much younger. It's like, this is so fucking funny to me. And it's a joke you don't get until you're like 20 plus, I don't think. But yeah, that is an incredible double feature.
That's dope. Yeah, so fun.
What do you got, Tim?
So it's funny because you've actually screened that double feature. Not only do you want to do it, you've done it.
I've done it a couple times.
It's kind yeah. of a cheater answer then.
I know. He's just like thinking, what have I done? For me, I was trying to pull something that was like classic and modern and pair those together. And like, what elements from the new one maybe harken back to the classics. And so I went with Nightmare on Elm Street and It Follows, because I felt like there's so much in It Follows that you can point at and be like, oh, that pulls from this movie or this movie. But I really like the pairing of those two. And then it also, I'm cheating a little bit here, but the Denzel Washington movie.
Switchback?
No, that I'm thinking about. Touch.
Yeah, isn't it where it's like the killer transmits, like he moves yeah. between, I thought it was called Switchback.
It's a demon.
Are you talking about Fallen?
Yes, Jesus. Fallen. It also has a little bit of Fallen aspect to it. So like Fallen is a great underrated movie, I feel like.
Yeah. But got John Goodman.
Yeah, it does.
Sorry,
but is it as horny?
It's not as horny as It Follows, I'll tell you that right now.
It's not as horny as Monster Squad.
It's super horny.
What Lies Beneath.
Yeah. So I'd probably go with like It Follows and Nightmare on Elm Street. I'll stick with that.
That's awesome. And there's something so like perfect too about combining those two, because everybody always says It Follows is kind of like Halloween, but I definitely think it's more like a Nightmare on Elm Street, because the unrelentingness of sleep, like sleep is coming for you, and what's in your dreams is what's going to get you, in the same sense of It Follows, which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
And they both have a very simple, cool, you know, keyboard progression as their main synth.
Yeah. Combine the soundtracks.
Layer those sound. No, don't do
that. One after the other. That's it.
Right on, guys. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. This was a blast. Can't wait to attend Panic Fest ourselves. Can't wait for everybody to check out all the amazing movies they've got at your, can't wait for everybody to check out all the amazing movies playing at your festival. Where can they find more info?
Yeah, then go to panicfilmfest.com. We just released our lineup and programming, so you can go check it out there. We'll have a schedule out soon that you can check out. Of course, virtual, in person, starts on April 8th, goes through the 18th. Adam, what do you have to add? Anything?
I'll be there. I'm hosting multiple virtual happy hours.
Woo!
I've seen all the movies, so just expect to try to find me if you can and gather drunk.
Yep, that's where stuck in theater number one.
Yeah, actually in theater number one, probably.
100%.
Yeah,
I feel like we should end on another really lame high five.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Wrong camera, Kim.
I did the laptop.
Panic Fest runs from April 8th to April 18th. Find more info and tickets at panicfilmfest.com. And while you're at it, don't forget you can get 20% off your badge with the promo code FIEND20. It's also a fun way of supporting the show, because you get to let them know
that we brought you there.
Yeah, let us get credit for that purchase.
Also, we're actually going to be there. We're going to be hanging out in the gathering rooms. We're going to be hosting some of the films and announcing them and Q&As and stuff. So you'll see us speckled about the fest being weird and silly. And we want to hang out with you. So definitely come to the festival, because there's going to be so many movies that we're going to be able to check out.
Yeah, and Kim's going to be really liquored up for trivia, so that might be the best time.
That's true. That's the only way I know facts.
Anyway, let us know which movies you're excited to check out at the fest. Hit us up on Twitter at NOFSPodcast or in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at NOFSPodcast.com/Discord.
See you there.
Okay, well, until that weekend, until April 8th, I'm John.
Oh, I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.